I'll be giving the scripture reading. Today's scripture reading can be found in Psalms chapter 7, chapter 37, verses 23 through 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, The Next Step. Just for the young people over there, I'd like to say that for today's message, STEP is an acronym for Seeking the Eternal Path. So that's what STEP will mean, Seeking the Eternal Path. We're going to use as a basis for our message this morning, Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24, but I'll be using the New Living Translation. At this time, I'd like to make a little pause to welcome everyone to our worship service. I'd like the whole church to know that we have people from many different places. We have beautiful people from Hawaii, beautiful people from Los Angeles. Yes, I noticed that Brother Francis and his family, Sister Barbara, is with us this morning also. Join us. And we'd like to welcome everyone that take the time. We have individuals that are not even our members of our local church, but not only they are attending our messages every week, our services, but they are also faithfully supporting. They are sending tithe and offerings to our church. And we like to thank them publicly for their support to our Vista Church. To all of you that came this morning, may the Lord bless us with a message that comes from Him. So to make sure that the message does come from Him, let's bow our heads and ask Him to anoint our lips so that whatever we say will reflect His will. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being part of your family. At this moment, as you speak to the godly people, your people, the people that your Son has redeemed, that we may be inspired by you, be guided by you, and be motivated to follow your footsteps as you show them to us. Thank you, Lord, for being the way, to being the truth, and being the gift that we all are hoping for, which is eternal life. Lord, please be with us. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. So the text that Brother Justin read for us is Psalms 37, 23, 24, but I'm going to use the New Living Translation. Have you ever been stuck in traffic before? Probably so, especially if you live in California. There's no way you can avoid once in a while to be stuck in traffic. Sometimes it is just for a few minutes, but sometimes, depending on what is going on the highway or freeway, if there is an accident or if they are fixing the road, it can be for hours. There are people that get stuck in traffic almost every day. Envision yourself be sitting in your car, and the traffic is not moving. You have no idea how long it will take. You look to your right, there's cars. You look to your left, there's cars. Front, back, there are cars everywhere. A sea of cars. And all that smoke coming up and everything else. And the people very persistently honking their horns. Then you see the shoulder, there goes the motorcycle riders flying. Sometimes they fly between cars like they are so close, inches from your door, from your car, from scratching your door, and you're wondering how these people are going so fast within the traffic. And that can give you you start to worry about. You sit there, you're trapped in the middle there is an old station wagon station in front of you, and there is this big, sluggish 18-wheeler is smoking, you know, burning their diesel, and you sit there wondering, what do I do next? Should I change lane? I noticed that for the past few minutes that maybe that lane went ahead a few inches more than this one. Should I change? And sometimes you do change just to figure out that your lane now started moving. Then you say, oh, I wish I could go back. And then after a while you go back, and then the other one starts moving. And you go through this stress, and you're desperate. You look at the watch. You need to be somewhere, but not there. And the traffic is not moving fast enough, and you have no idea how long it will take. You know one thing. You know that maybe you start thinking, maybe I should find the closest exit and just find a way out of here. Maybe I should call, take my phone, and ask Erica to find me a different route, an alternate route. Or maybe Siri will tell me how to find my way. But you know what? What about if I do this and I get myself lost? What about if I get to, if my GPS leads me to more traffic instead of this kind of traffic? You keep it asking yourself all those questions. The only thing that you know for certain is that you know where the destination is. You know that the road eventually will take there, but the question is when? What should I do? How can I move a little faster? How do I get there better if I find a different path? You just don't know for how long it will take to get there, but you know where you're going. So what is the next step that you take? What decisions do you make? You may be, at this moment, my brother and sister, working two jobs to put your children through college. You may be have only one salary in your home, and you have to pay all the expenses, no matter if there's COVID going on or not, the bills are still coming. Some of you may be working 14 hours or more a day. You may have reached your limit. Maybe after you lost a loved one, you may be grieving. And you cannot find peace in your heart. Maybe the stress from the school, the situation, the way it's going on, a separation from a loved one that you cannot see, that you wish you could see, but you cannot see. The life that you once had before, but now you cannot have, and you don't know how long this will be. The uncertainties of the change of administration in our own country, policies, old laws, new laws, no laws, all in laws, whatever laws are there, can be more stress, more uncertainty. Or maybe you have moved from one state to this state, or you are moving from this state to another state, or from a country to this country. You move from one house to another house, or you're contemplating returning, going back to where you were before, but you keep wondering, what is the next step? What must I do? In these moments, when life feels so uncertain to some, we want to start searching for an immediate fix or a perfect solution. Everybody wants that perfect solution. What about when it will come? When will it come? When are we going to go back to normal? Whatever normal it was. What is the next step that we must take? First, we must turn to God. Always, we must turn to God and to His Word to find his strength and find the peace that we all need, especially in the midst of such challenged times that we live in. If you are stuck in traffic, quote-unquote traffic, today, and wondering what to do next, join us, as we search the biblical GPS. Oh, you did not know there is such thing as biblical GPS, right? Yes, there is a biblical GPS. What GPS stands for? God's precise steps. God's precise steps is the GPS that we need for this time, for guidance and confidence that the Lord will lead us there. There is a popular singer that she became one of her songs became a hit. The title of the song says, "Lord take the wheel." That's what we need at this time. We need the Lord to take the wheel. Let him do the driving. It can save you a lot of headaches and a lot on your insurance, because the Lord takes the wheel. He will take care of your insurance too. So let's go back to the original text for this that we are using today. The first portion of the text says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." Then you may say, what about the ungodly? Doesn't the Lord also look and guide them? You see, the Bible tells us that the Lord directs the steps of the godly because the godly let God take the wheel. The ungodly, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want God to direct their steps. As the godly step up, the ungodly will step down. As the godly step in, the ungodly usually steps out. As the godly steps forward, the ungodly usually steps backwards. So if you are the godly people that God directs your steps, it is time for you to step up. It's time for you to step in. God's basic principles of divine guidance is that God leads us one step at a time. As the psalmist said, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. And let's emphasize the godly. It is no accident that he used the word steps when he is revealing to us the existence of God's plan for our lives. The scripture tells us that God has a plan for our lives. He always had and he always will. And that plan includes every step of our daily living, every single one of them. And that we can know exactly what God's will is. Why is it, I may ask, that so many people that they call themselves Christians, they call themselves followers of Christ, they create so many pretexts in order to reject God's will instead of following God's will? Why do they claim that obedience to God's will is no longer a matter of salvation? They say that we are saved by grace and grace alone. That's true. But that does not imply that obedience is not necessary, because if there is something that is so clear in God's GPS, is that we cannot take one step towards Christ without obeying his will. Allow him to guide, to be the driver of our lives. Psalms 32 verse 8. And I'll be reading from Good News Translation. Psalms 32 verse 8. It says, the Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. I don't know about you, I have been in my life, throughout my whole life, in many circumstances that I was very, very concerned about what will be my next step. Today, looking back, I'm very grateful that the Lord taught me the way, which way to go. That His Holy Spirit allow us to make the right decision and take the suggestions and guidance that He gave us. That He did instruct us, that He advised us. And that's what we are here today. Part of God's chosen people. God has commanded us in His biblical GPS. He gives us this commandment. We find in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, the same Good News Translation version. He says, remember that I, the Lord is speaking, says, I have commanded you, you godly people, I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't have doubt, don't have fear. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged. For I am the Lord your God. I am with you wherever you go. The Lord is saying this to you. I command you to be determined and confident because you must be able to see my footprints right beside you, in front of you, so that you know that I'll be with you every step of the way. Not only the next step, but the next, after next, after next, all the way I will be with you. Therefore, I command you to be determined, to be committed, to be confident. Don't put your head down. Put your head up. Don't step back. Step on. Step in. Step forward. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, also good news. Good News Translation. The Lord commands, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the word heart here means thinking, your mind. Trust in the Lord with all your mind. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember that the Lord is everything. Remember the Lord in everything you do. And He will show you the right way. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, New Century Version. There is this good advice to all of us. Some of you say, James said, today or tomorrow we will go to some city. And we'll stay there for a year. We'll do business. We'll make money. But you do not know what will happen tomorrow. No, 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 brother. None of you or sisters, nobody knows what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. All our lives is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, but then it goes away. So you should say instead, if the Lord wants, according to God's will, we will live and do this or that. But now you are proud and you brag. All this bragging is wrong. Don't rely on yourselves, but rely on God. Take God's GPS. Follow it in your next step. Second part of the text, it says, the Lord delights in every detail of their lives. Emphasis, please, on every detail. The Bible says that not even a hair falls from His beloved ones without His knowledge. Every single detail of the godly life, God delights in every detail. In Job chapter 31, verse 4, Good News Translation. It says like this. God knows everything I do. Oh, yes, and He does, brother. And by the way, let me make a pause and look it towards the young people. Hello, young people. Sometimes you do things that you think nobody is watching, nobody will know. And people question you and you lie and you try to hide. But I want you to pay attention to this. Not in a negative way. Not that God is like a police officer watching you or trying to catch you doing something wrong. No. But I want you to know that God is aware of everything you do because God delights in every detail of those people that he loves. So God knows everything you do, everything I do. He sees every step that I take. Why? Because he wants to make sure that I don't take the wrong step because he's concerned about my safety. He wants to know that I go in the right direction because he wants his godly people to be always full of joy. That's why he delights in every detail of their lives. Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 4, Good News Translation. We may make our plans. Yes, we always concern about making plans. And sadly, people think that if they do not make plans, that means that they don't have plans. When you make plans, you have a better chance to succeed, but when you don't make plans, the evil one will make plans for you. Because a lack of a plan is a bad plan. You may make our plans, but God has the last word. Yes, allow him, please, to have the last word. You may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. In other words, the Lord knows what is best for you. So therefore, he, if you allow him, he will take the wheel. Ask the Lord to bless your plans. Always do. And you will be successful in carrying them out. What a beautiful device. Everything the Lord has made has its destiny. And the destiny of the wicked is always destruction. For the godly, there is eternal life. But for the ungodly, there is destruction at the end of the road. Proverbs 19, verse 21, New Living Translation. You can make many plans. Yes, brothers and sisters, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail no matter what. Sometimes we are overwhelmed with the evil things that happens around us. We keep asking ourselves, how could that have happened? But I want you to remind you, the law, God's word says, his purpose will prevail. No matter how much you see evil prospering, at the end, God will prevail. He always has, he always will. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Many of you are very, very, very familiar with this text. I'm going to read from a New Century Version, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, I, meaning the Lord, I say this because I know, the Lord knows, what I am planning for you. Says the Lord, I, the Lord, have good plans for you. Not plans that will end up hurting you, but plans that will give you hope, and a bright, beautiful, very good future. Praise the Lord for that. Paul says this in a Good News Translation, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. He says this, don't you worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need. Always ask him with a thankful heart. Let me go back and I say, don't worry about anything. Worry is sometimes a clear evidence of lack of trust. Worry sometimes is a clear evidence of lack of faith in God. That's why Paul starts by saying, don't you worry about anything. Don't let fear control your emotions. Don't you worry about anything. But in all your prayers, ask God, tell God what you need. And make sure that always when you ask him with a grateful, a thankful heart. Sometimes People don't give to God what it belongs to God, and yet they want God to give to them what belongs to God. Let me make sure that you understood what I said. I say sometimes people don't give back to God what belongs to God, and yet they want also not only keep what is God, but they want God to give them more. It doesn't work that way, brothers. A thankful heart is a giving heart. And those that will give will receive, but those that keep will lose everything. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. The third part of our text, it says, the godly stumbles, but they will never fall. It talks about a permanent fall. Psalms 119, verse 133, Good News Translation says like this, as you have promised, it's you, here is God, as God has promised, keep me from falling. Don't let me be overcome by evil. I'm going to read the same verse in the New King James Version, which says, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Again, let me paraphrase this in my own way. I'll say, Lord, use your word to help me not to allow any sin to be a lord in my life. I don't want to be a slave of my sin. So help me through your word to guide me out of this situation. Proverbs 24, verse 16, New Living Translation. It says, the godly may trip seven times. And seven here, it doesn't mean one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. It means many times. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again, 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 many times. But one disaster is enough to destroy the wicked. The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again and again, because the Lord does not allow them to stay down. In Psalms 37:31, New King James Version, it says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The godly has the law of our God in their hearts. And that's why none of their steps will shall slide. Jeremiah, in his book, Lamentations, in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says to us, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Wow. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Brothers and sisters, before you do anything when you get up, make sure that you claim some of those mercies that are begin afresh every morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, New Living Translation, Paul says to the Corinthians, so we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The godly, they live by faith. So they see what nobody else can see. Yet the ungodly just only see for what they can see. They don't see anything else beyond what is before just their eyes. That's why they do have no faith. and they have no hope either. The fourth part of our text, it says the Lord holds them by the hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have used this Bible verse so many times to comfort those that are overwhelmed by fear. Isaiah 41:10, New King James Version says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Hello? I want to tell you, I am your God. I am with you. There's no reason for you to be dismayed or discouraged or overcome by fear. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am with you. I am your God. Verse 13, Isaiah 41, New Living Translation. For I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. When we are in a situation, when we need to take that next step, sometimes we do not know what to do. So we need to go to someone to ask, what must I do? Let me give you some biblical examples of people who take in that position. One of them that comes to my mind is the Nico. They call Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was a teacher. He was very well as far as his wealth. He had, we could say that he was very rich. He was rich. He had a lot of possessions. But he also had something very precious. He had the desire to seek the truth. So he heard about this young rabbi, a Nazarene, that was talking and they was performing miracles and everything else. So he listened to those news. And one day, he decided that he was going to go. He was going to take the next step. He was going to approach this young man from Nazareth. And he was going to ask him himself. Ask what? Ask him, what must be my next step in my life? So he waited one evening when everybody, because Jesus was all day long surrounded by people. It was almost impossible to talk to him in one. So he waited until everybody went home to eat or to go to sleep. And now Jesus was getting ready for a section of prayer. And here comes Nicodemus. And he wants a private audience with Christ. And by the way, that's a good idea. We all should have our private audience with Christ. So he came to him. You find this story in John chapter 3, verse 1 all the way to 21. In verse 4, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old?" And he asked, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" So Nicodemus was indirectly saying, what must I do? What is necessary for me to take the next step? Jesus told him clearly, you must be born again. You need to, you know, all this religion, and he was a religious leader. He was a teacher of the Bible. And Jesus said, how come you, being a teacher, do not know those things? you need to be born by the water of the Spirit. You need to be born again. I like to say this to you, brothers and sisters. Throughout my ministry, for many years, I had many people, there have been a Seventh-day Adventist, at least by name, for many years. They have not realized that they were being lost inside of the church, because all that they had is a title, a Seventh-day Adventist title, but they were not living the way they're supposed to. Maybe someone is listening today and may have the same question in your mind, what must I do to be saved? What is your decision today? What is the next step for you? Are you going to continue to be parked on no moving situation as far as your spirituality? Or are you on the move and you want to know what is the next step? How do I get closer to where I'm supposed to be? A rich man, another very rich man, also a religious leader. He came to Jesus also, but this time he came when Jesus had other people surround him, but he came. And we find in Luke 18:18, it says, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Basically, he was asking, good teacher, what is the next step that I must take? Jesus told him, obedience. Oh, like in all the religions today say that is obedience is not necessary. Jesus told him, obedience. Oh, I can imagine somebody today will look at Jesus and says, but that is legalism. We are saved by grace and grace alone. We don't need the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, yes, yes, yes. You need to do God's will. Oh, the leader says, oh, that is easy. I know what that is. I have been doing this all my life, so I'm fine then. Jesus said, that's wonderful. So there's only one more step that you need to take. And what is that? You know all that stuff that you have that is keeping you from having a perfect relationship with God, which is all that money that you have. Why don't you sell all that stuff and give to the poor and then take the next step? Follow me. The story tells us that that man decided to take a step back instead of taking a step forward. Instead of a step in to God's church, he decided to step out, because the Bible says he had too many stuff. He was too rich. Actually, I think he was one of the poorest person in the Bible. Because when you are in front of the most precious stone, the cornerstone, and you cannot identify that as precious, that means you are very poor. Today, we could have the gospel according to him. We don't even know his name. Today, we could have all his wisdom with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But yet, all that we have is that this religious leader, a young, and the Bible says, a rich man, he asked the question about what is the next step. And when Christ told him what the next step that he must take, he took a step back away from Christ. The Bible says also in John 8, verse 1 all the way to 11, that some teachers, scribes, they call the religious teachers of the law, and some Pharisees, they came. Jesus got up. He came to the early in the morning. He came to the temple to teach. A crowd gathered around him, and he sat down and he started teaching them. As he was teaching them, here comes the teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he they bring with them a woman. They said, this woman that we bring to you before, they push her to the middle of the group. We caught her on an act of adultery. And they all of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, each one of them, when they brought the woman, they already have in their hands a stone. They came prepared to kill. They came prepared to do the devil's work. They want to claim that they were the jury. They were the executor. They came to execute the penalty. They have made up their mind. But one thing that was interesting is that here's the woman that accused of adultery. Where is the man? So they had an agenda. That's why they were not seeking justice. They were not seeking to practice the law. They want to trick Jesus, the Bible says. Their intent was to try to find something wrong in Jesus and use this woman in not physically, but in some extent they were adultering the whole situation by using the woman as an instrument to try to trick Jesus. Verse 4, it says, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. And here we are. We are ready. Here are the stones. And they ask the question, what do we do next? What do you say we must do next? What is the next step, Jesus? What do we do? They were trying to trap him and to say something that could be used against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the dust with his finger. Verse 7, it says, they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said to all of them, all right, but let the one who has never sinned be the one who throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and he wrote on the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, and the only thing they could hear is the drop of the stones that they were carrying with them. Beginning with the oldest until the young, they all left. Until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with a woman. And you can imagine the eyes of the crowd looking at Jesus and that woman. What will be the next step? What is going to happen? Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? With her head down, she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, here is the next step, young lady. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. That is the step that you must take. Away from sin, I step towards God. Go and sin no more. We have all the examples in the Bible. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, we find a woman that had been bleeding for 12 years. The Bible says that she lost her money, she lost her fortune. She went from doctor to the doctor to the doctor, and she was weak, lack of iron, and many other, a very poor health. And she had all the problems caused by this problem. she decided, I have only one more step to take. I have no hope. She heard about Jesus and she said, I need to get close to him. I need to get close to him. And around Jesus, there was this multitude, but this lady with persistence, even though she was weak, sick, she found her way to the crowd. And finally, she was able to touch him, touch his clothes, his robe. Immediately, Jesus stopped, and Jesus asked, who touched me? The disciple says, excuse me, sir? Everybody touched you because there's a crowd around you. Everybody's touching you. No. Who touched me? And then the woman that feel the healing, the moment that she touched him, she feels that she was healed immediately. He says, I, Lord, I did. And the Lord confirmed because of her faith that she was healed because she took that step. And I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, they don't mention her name. But if you want to see her, if you want to meet her, 3:00, the right side of the tree of life, she's going to be there too. She will be there, the right side of the tree of life. She is going to be one of those that took the right step in the right direction. As you continue, Mark chapter 5, if you go from 55 to 43, you see that somebody came to Jesus, a synagogue leader's daughter have died. And they came, but for some reason there was a delay. And she died. So they told him, don't bother the master because your daughter is already dead. You know, when she was sick, he could have come, but now she's dead. But the Lord Jesus says, now I go. And he chose 3 of his disciples and says, let's go. And when he arrived at the synagogue leader's house, the people laughed. They said the people laughed, and so he asked all of them to leave. And he asked only the parents and the disciples to come in. And he prayed and told the girl to get up, and the girl got up. And he told, she is hungry, feed her. And they did. The people then laughed when Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. They missed the greatest opportunity in their lives. Instead of taking a step in, they took a step out because they were kicked out, because they were laughing, because they had doubt. Brothers and sisters, what about Saul? He took a step towards Damascus in order to kill Christians. But on his way to Damascus, the Lord decided to appear to him. In Acts chapter 22, verse 10, he said, I asked the Lord, what shall I do, Lord? When after the Lord told him, why are you persecuting me? And after the Lord told him clearly that what he was doing was wrong. Saul, that later became Paul, asked, what shall I do? What was the next step? What should I do with my life? And the Lord said to him, get up and go into Damascus, not to kill people, but now to be part of the people that you're persecuting. And there you will be told everything the Lord has determined for you. Yes, brother. Insisted, God makes the plans. He plans every step that we take. And Saul went to Damascus, and he became Paul, a champion of the gospel. The Bible tells us also about one of his experiences between him, Paul, and Silas when they were sent, were put in prison. How the earthquake came, and the jailer thought that he had escaped, and all the people had escaped, and he was about to take off his life. And yet, you know the story. When they saw that they were still there, the prisoners did not leave, and that it would not have cost his life, because if anybody had escaped, the jailer and probably his family would be in big trouble, probably even sent to death. But then he said, the jailer said to, then he led them and says out of and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Every time somebody sees how God manifests in their lives, the question comes always, what is my next step? And Paul and Silas showed them the next step, and they were baptized, and their families were baptized. When Peter was preaching a sermon in Jerusalem, and there were people from Jewish people from many parts of the world there present, the Bible says Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do? What is the next step that we must take?" Acts chapter 2, verse 37 in the New Living Translation. "Brothers, what we must do? What is the next step?" The Bible says that they accept Christ, and 3,000 people were baptized. James 4, verse 17, it tells us in the New Living Translation, "Anyone who knows the right thing to do, but doesn't do, commits sin." Brother and sister, if you know that you have to return tithe and you do not do, you commit sin. If you know what is right to do and you do not do, you commit sin. If your heart, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, what is the next step? And if you do not take that step forward, instead if you take the step backward, you are committing sin. Romans 8:25, New Living Translation says, "But if we look forward to something we do not yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently." In conclusion, brothers and sisters, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." It is also Paul who says from the 1 Thessalonians 5, 10 and 11, New Living Translation as well, "Christ died for us so that whatever we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever." So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. I wish, brothers and sisters, with all my heart, that today's message will help you to make a decision to take the next step. If you have been baptized long time ago and you have turned your back to Christ, maybe you need to go to the water again. Maybe you need to renew your life. Maybe you need to recommit your life. Maybe you took some steps back. It's time for you to take your steps forward. Don't step down, step up. Don't step aside, step right in. Jesus Christ wants you to at his side. He wants you to come with him wherever he goes. He wants to watch your steps. He wants your steps to be following his footprints. May the Lord bless you with the wisdom and the desire and the confidence and the determination to take a step in, to take a step forward. God bless. Amen.
Amen. And now it's time for the hymn of praise, hymn number 213. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Dawn Tayag. Jesus is coming again.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Proclaim it, ye plain. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Coming again, leaving the birth of a vast wandering soul. Jesus is coming again. Tempest and whirlwind, the anthem prolong. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
And now to the godly I say, but now be made free from sin and have become servants of God. You have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. It is our mission, it's our determination here in Vista to put God first, to serve others, and to make disciples. If that's your mission, if that's your purpose, let's bow our heads for a benediction. Now may the Lord who makes you holy, keeps you holy. Now may the Lord who watch your steps, not only give you his hand to uphold you, but to guide you and to keep you for his glory until he comes to take you home. May the Lord bless you and keep you safe every step. Remember, the next step, it must be a step forward closer to him. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings upon you. Amen.
Amen.